We're doing the Shotaran. We're on page Taftet Vav in the Masada of Cook edition. We're in the 11th speech. The paragraph begins, Anim Va'erod. The Ran says, our Torah is unique in that the Torah is not only about... I'll start in the beginning of the paragraph. We'll quickly run through the first two sentences. We were up to Vanim Ve'erod Ve'omer. I want to clarify further and say, Shekmo Shenitichdat Torotenu Mibeni Musei Amot Benzot Vechukim En Inyanam Tikun Medini Klal. Just as the Torah is unique in that the Torah has mitzvot that have nothing to do with smooth running of society. Aval Animshach Mehem Uchol Hashef Ha'Eloki Be'umatenu V'idabek Banu. We have laws that are focused on getting us to be so spiritual that Hashem's presence exists among us. Sometimes we can understand. We bring sacrifices. We have a temple. So the Torah gives us mitzvot that are about connecting to Hashem. And sometimes we don't understand how these mitzvot connect us to Hashem. You have other statutes which we have no clue why we're doing them. How, by not wearing shatnez, do I connect to Hashem? How, by not eating a cheeseburger, do I connect to Hashem? How, by keeping the laws of family purity, do I connect to Hashem? We have many laws that we don't understand, and yet we say that's part of the Torah, and that's also part of connecting to Hashem and having Hashem a part of us. Nonetheless, says the Ran, undoubtedly, these actions are a part of having Hashem connect us, even though they defy human logic. We have no understanding as to what's wrong with eating a pig. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with eating pork or scorpions or snakes or anything else.
That's different than chicken or cow
in that sense. Yeah. The Ran says, don't look at this as something that's queer, because there are many things in nature that we cannot explain, yet we know they exist. So there are things that you say, I don't know why it works. We don't know. There are certain things we don't know why they work, yet we know they do work, and we work with them. So too, there are things that we say, I don't know why this works, but Hashem said this is part of the Torah, so fine. This is part of Hashem connecting to us. Yes? We're on the 11th parak. Okay, so in different editions of the Drashot Aran, this speech appears on a different number, meaning there are different versions. I'll tell you one second. In certain versions of the Drashot Aran, this shows up as the 13th, and in other versions the 9th, and in other versions the 8th. Okay, this speech shows up depending on which version you're using. But the focus of the version is on Shoftim, Shoftim v'Shoterim. That's the beginning of the speech. V'zeh shenitiachda bo Torateinu minimasei umot shein aleihem esek b'zeh klal. And this is an aspect that our Torah is unique, where the other nations have a legal system, and their legal system is not interested at all in having God be a part of their government. What law do you have in the United States that affects being godly people? There are laws of how you run a society. Leave God out of it. Then the same is true for most nations. So the Torah is unique. It says, here's how you run your society. Torah gives us laws, a legal system for marriage, and a legal system for damages, and a legal system for raising a family and having a business. And then the Torah gives you all these things that are godly, that are spiritual. Other systems are just focused on how to ensure people can live peacefully together. Not so the Torah. ולפיכך אני סובר וראוי שיאמין בו שכמו שהחוקים שאין להם מבוא כלל בתיקון הסידור והם סיבה עצמית קרובה לחול אליהם השפע אלוקים כן משפטי התורה יש להם איזה מבוא גדול. Says the Ran, I think it's the other way around. You could look at the Torah and say, I have a legal system, a social system that has religious additions that get you close to God. I think it's the other way around. If you look at the religious aspect of Torah and realize that the religious way the Torah tells you to live is a way of getting close to Hashem, you should realize that the social aspects of Torah are the same. When the Torah tells you the laws of damages, when the Torah tells you your responsibility to society, when the Torah tells you your responsibility with your ox and your cow and your sheep, when the Torah tells you your legal responsibilities, it's not only social mitzvot. It's not only, well, if your ox gored your neighbor's ox, this is how much you have to pay, because it's socially this is the way to run a society. It is also a way to get our connection with Hashem. Don't think that the Torah is divided into two components the way we've been describing. There's the social aspect, there's the economic, social direction that the Torah says our society should be run, and then there's the religious aspect, keep Shabbat, keep kosher, and the religious aspect is focused on connecting to Hashem, and the social aspect is focused on having a smooth running society. No, says the Ran. Now you should know that this Ran answers a question I always wondered upon. I always wondered, why does the Torah have to tell us these laws? If your ox gores his ox, this is how much you pay. Why does God busy himself with that? Why does that interest God? Why does that matter? Why can't every society set up their own system? Why did the Torah have to enter the realm of our monetary dealings? Why does the Torah have to tell me about, yes, collecting interest or not? So you could say it's part of being a nice guy. But I have to run a business. I have to have a mortgage. I have to buy a house. And I have to watch my cattle. But the Torah has to tell me what the tax is if my cattle gores your cattle. Says the Ran, it's not just a legal system. This is a system that's going to make you into a more spiritual, connected to God person. You're going to be a person who's more connected to God through the system. It's not just about, this is what's fair, how you should watch your ox.
It's like Shabbat.
It's like Shabbat, right.
It just makes more sense.
In other words, right. There's a more of a logic, right.
Come up with something.
Exactly. Exactly.
But is it necessarily...
It's only...
Our logic makes it make more sense.
Okay.
Which
okay.
Exactly.
Okay, got it. Yeah. It's
an arbitrary distinction on our part. So trying to impose our reason on Hashem's will.
But we're supposed to.
I didn't say we're not supposed to.
Okay.
There's no difference in terms of the force of commandment or its purpose.
Okay.
I wouldn't call it so arbitrary then.
If you understand it, we say that it's logical. If you don't understand it, we say it's
a part. Ah, so leave him, fine.
So
what?
If we can make our reason make sense of the thing, then we say that it's logical. We say that it's a social commandment, or whatever. If it doesn't make any sense whatsoever, or we can see benefits, whatever, then we can't impose our own reason. Then we call it a religious thing.
Okay.
Social thing. Either way, it's still we're trying to impose our reason on it. If we understood the God thing for it, then you would be different.
Okay. Okay. Say that. Well, the Ran said that in a much earlier speech. The Ran said that in one of his first speech. He says, there's our understanding of it, and then there's the real reason.
It says in Gemara and Bracha Sasa.
That what?
Gemara and Bracha Sasa.
Which Gemara?
It only says
Al Kan Tzipor Yagir Rachamecha. Okay. Okay.
No question.
וכאילו הם משותפים בנסיבת חול אלו העניין ההוא באומתנו ותיקון עניין קיבוצנו ואפשר שהם היו פונים יתר על העניין אשר הוא יותר נשגב במעלה ממה שהם היו פונים לתיקון קיבוצנו כי התיקון ההוא המלך אשר נעמיד עלינו ישלים עניינו. He says the Ran, it could be that if I had to give a percentage, there's a greater percentage of reasoning that the monetary mitzvot are there for us to be godly people than for us to have a smooth running society. Don't think that the social mitzvot are primarily there to let you run a society, and on a secondary level they also help you connect to God. No, says the Ran, it could very well be that the prime reason why when your ox gores someone else's ox, you have to pay, and sometimes the ox has to die, all of that is godly. It's about you connecting to God. And the aspect that it's monetary and it ensures the smooth running of society, that's a much less percentage reasoning for that, because at the end of the day, you still need a filler. You still don't have a system. The Torah has not given you a system that is perfect in the sense that now society can run perfectly based on that system. You still need the king who will fill in the gaps.
Wait. Even in the cruelest societies, it runs smoothly without any social, so it isn't godly. You treat slaves as they did, not in our system, but in the American society. So it's true. It's clearly true.
Okay.
Can you repeat that last point?
So he's saying, if you look at the Torah's social mitzvot as a social system that's good for us, plus it's godly, so that's one aspect. He says he thinks that even the social mitzvot, the mitzvot of how you have to deal with your neighbor, even they are focused on us being godly people. And the social aspect is secondary. He says, I'll prove it to you, because the social mitzvot on their own do not provide a smooth running society. At the end of the day, there are many loopholes. A person can find ways to kill his neighbor and be let off the hook. He can put him in, and he says, and the only way you close those loopholes is with a king. So at the end of the day, the Torah system for society doesn't work as a standalone. It only works with the king who fills in the gap. So then why do I need the system?
Okay, but two things. The king is part of the system.
Right.
And then number two is that doesn't explain how the societal aspects of Torah, you know, and everything that we're talking about, even though it just because it doesn't alone provide for a smooth running society, it doesn't also teach us how it's in fact a catalyst for spirituality.
That part he's not showing us.
Last week you were okay. Here.
So how do we know?
It's kind of like we talked about the mitzvot, the rate of like you take a cab, and I'm saying legally you have to pay him. But you could also say, well, you know, it's a schar, it's a day worker, and you have a mitzvah the right to pay him. So, you know, on one level, basically, you'd pay the guy, you'd do a job. But there's also, I think it's not like it's two sides of the same coin. But the other perspective, you could also perform a mitzvah daraita by doing something that externally is just very, very basic.
That's what we learned. You know, you couldn't kill somebody without being warned, and the two witnesses, you know, you can't run a society that way. So you needed the king. I mean,
it's
I'd simplify it, I think. Yeah.
No. So that's what we learned.
The scary thing is you can have a society that's orderly and runs well where you have zero connection to God.
You think Sodom ran very well? The Dorabi Flagon ran well?
You know, in the last 100 years, you know, Russia was a major power. Nazi Germany until it lost. You know, I mean, you could say it ran. It was incredibly cruel.
His point is, if at the end of the day you need the human being to make the system work, so then why did God give us the system to begin with? He say in a second. So he's saying that the importance of the system is more the connection to Hashem than the idea of giving me a system, because at the end of the day, the system only works because of the human being, and the human being doesn't work with the system. Meaning the king is going to do things based on his understanding. So if at the end of the day I'm going with the king's understanding, then why did the Torah have to give me the system? So he says, for sure, part of the system, not for sure, he says, it seems part of the system is because it's good for us to have that system. There is a logic to it. It's good for us. But it would seem, again, he says he hasn't proved it, but he thinks that these indicators support the idea that the prime reason to have the laws of damages in society is really as a way of connecting to Hashem. Yes?
I thought this concept that if you're not improving as a human being through learning Torah, then you're not really learning Torah. So if we take this and say that, if we take these societal laws as we're calling them, right, if they actually people actually internalize them or doing them correctly, you know, under whatever the right command according to Halacha, then and improve themselves in such a way, then the king wouldn't be this. Which is the argument that I think the various people bring, that it's an optimal thing.
Okay.
If we've gotten to that level, we wouldn't have any of the king because
it could make
an orderly society. If we were able to use the commandments to cling to God correctly, then a king wouldn't be necessary.
Kibalti. Right here? No, it's a good point.
it seems like the Sanhedrin could also fill this gap.
He's about to talk about the Sanhedrin. That's the next sentence, which we'll pick up with Bezrat Hashem next week.
Got a lot of run. Ever since you said